next week's parsha, Parsha Shmini, talks about the basics of Hilchos Kashrus. At the end of its discussion and summing up the halachas of Kashrus, Torah adds one extra pasuk. Lahavdil ben atomi ben ator uven achaya hanachelas uven achaya asher lo seyochem. To distinguish between tor and tome, between what's kosher and what's not kosher. What does this pasuk add? So Rashi is troubled by this. Rashi says, "Ben atome uven ator tzarchlor ben chamor lo por halo kvar mefurashim heim." Does the pasuk mean to tell us that we should distinguish between a chamor and a por? We know that already. Whatever has simanik kashrus is kosher, is permissible to eat, and what doesn't have simanik kashrus is also ba'achil. It's not Rashi, ela ben tmer lecha l'tahor lecha, ben nishchat chetzer shalkana l'nishchat rubo shalkana. That what the pasuk comes to teach us is that even an animal that has simanik kashrus, if you don't shecht it properly, then you can't eat it. If nishchat rubo shalkana, if a majority of rov of the simanim are nishchat, so then the animal is kosher. But if only half of the semen is cut, then the animal is still not kosher. It's forbidden to be eaten. Continues Rashi, Ubein Achaya Hane'achelis, Tarach Loma Bein Tzvi La'arod, Halok Farma Furashim Heim. Does the Torah have to distinguish between kosher and non-kosher animals? Ela Ben Shinola Basimane Treifa K'sheira, Linola Basimane Treifa K'sula. But rather, the Pasuk is telling us that there are Simane Treifa, there are 18 Simanim of Treifa that the Gemara mentions in Chulin, that if the behemah has these simanim, you can't eat it, even if it's shechted properly, because an animal that's a treifa is also ba'achil. Why is this the concluding statement of the Torah in its discussion of Hilchos Kashrus? What's so special about this drasha of Chazal? I think perhaps the Torah wants to share with us a very deep message, that sometimes the difference between tohar and tameh, the difference between kosher and non-kosher, is clear. Yeah, there are some animals, some fish and birds that have simanik kashrus, and some don't. So that distinction is very clear. But sometimes the difference between kosher and non-kosher is not so clear. Sometimes it's very subtle. It's like the difference between a windpipe that's halfway cut and a windpipe that's just a little bit more than halfway cut. That's a much more subtle difference, and it can only be seen by someone who looks very carefully, someone who's sensitive to detail, who's sensitive to nuance. At the end of the parsha, a few psukim before the end, the Torah says, "Ki ani Hashem amale eschem mei eretz Mitzrayim lihios lachem leilokim." What does Yitzias Mitzrayim have to do with Hilchos Kashrus? We know that Chazal said that at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael were very similar to the mitzvim around them, halalu of the avodah zarah, b'halalu of the avodah zarah. They both were of the avodah zarah. In terms of mitzvahs, Klal Yisrael were not so different than the mitzvah. But we know that the Medrash says that Klal Yisrael did distinguish themselves in certain small but significant ways. Loshinu es shemam, es lashonam, es malbusham. They kept their Jewish names. They preserved their language and their mode of dress. Vahisham l'goy gadol melame shahayu Yisrael mitzionim sham. They were distinguished in certain ways. Maybe by and large they were similar to the Mitzrayim, but there were certain ways that they were distinguished from the outside society. Zoktim Eshechachm and Parshas Bo, that's the schus that they had to be redeemed. The schus that Bnei Yisrael had to be redeemed from Mitzrayim is that they made Gedorim. They separated themselves from the Egyptian culture. Maybe not as much as they should have, but at least they did it a little bit. And those Gedorim were what gave them the schus to be Negel. This is the message the Torah is sharing with us at the end of Parsha Shmini. The importance of Havdalah, of making Gedorim, of distinguishing between right and wrong, between Tohar and Tomei, even when those differences are not so obvious. How do we do that? The first way is to Talmud Torah. By expanding our knowledge of Torah, we come to appreciate more the Torah's perspective on life. The Mishnah in Brachos quotes Machlokas Tanoim as to where Havdalah should be said in the Tefillah of Matzei Shabbos. And we paskin that Havdalah is said in the first Bracha. Atachonin le'adam das. That's the Bracha that we say Havdalah, B'Tefillah. Why? Zokti Rishalmi, Yemein das Havdalah minayim. Without das Havdalah minayim, without knowledge, without understanding, You can't be mavdil. You can't distinguish ben kodesh l'chol ben tamei l'tor. So there's no question that by immersing ourselves in more Torah, we can better appreciate the Torah's perspective, and we can distinguish between kodesh and chol, between right and wrong. But there's something else that we can do, and that is we can seek out guidance from Rebbeim, from different mentors. That's so critical as well. After all, Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim didn't have a Torah, and yet they were distinguished in some way from the surrounding culture. How did they do that? The answer is they had a Mesorah. They had a Mesorah from Yaakov Avinu, a Mesorah from the Shvatim. And it's that Mesorah, that sense of guidance, that gave them the perspective they needed to distinguish themselves from the surrounding culture. It's not easy to be Mavdil ben Kodesh l'chol ben Torah l'tamei. But that's really the deeper message of Hilchas Kashrus. To learn to differentiate, to be mavdil, to differentiate between right and wrong, not just in what we eat, but in everything we do in life. Shabbos.